Information. It's a part of New South Wales Department of Education and Training. And this is Bridging the Divide.
Whatever that means.
Yes.
Thanks. I did try and get some lollies downstairs, but they advised me not to buy them because they've been date stamped incorrectly or something. So if anyone's got some mints, just share them around now. Jenny just asked me, I've just been sitting through her presentation on the Northern Territory and thinking, gee, it must be lovely to have some, and Mike, when he did his, some lovely visuals and so on this world journey. So what I might get you to do through mine is just close your eyes and try and imagine a very virtual journey I'm going to take you on here regarding formal and informal learning and what we're calling, or what I'm calling anyway, is this growing gap between what we're doing in the schools and what's happening in the so-called digital bedroom, which you probably don't want to know about, but if you've got teenage kids, you've probably stumbled across from time to time. So what I want to do is just give you a quick overview of the territory I want to cover at the moment, this virtual territory, and also do a little bit of redlining, because I suspect we'll run well and truly out of time for doing that. The first thing I want to just go over is this notion of formal and informal learning. I was reminded by a colleague of mine recently when I was doing a paper that she looked at the paper and said, love the paper, but there's no such thing as informal learning. So anyway, I walked straight back out the door and let her think about that for 24 hours. Came back within a day, and it's amazing the difference that made, because she'd done a little bit of research and found that suddenly this is becoming a topic of interest again. So that was okay. I want to spend a bit of time in this presentation looking at some research we've just completed recently. The ink's still wet on the paper, so to speak, because it hasn't been published yet. But I'd like to give you, for the first time, an insight into what we've been doing there. And then this notion about, can we, if we do understand the notion of informal learning, can we describe it in formal terms? And that's kind of the essence of big L learning design, I'd suggest, is trying to get that into a format that might be machine readable. I'll leave that one, I might sort of bounce that one down the rank anyway. What can we do to bridge this gap between it and between this notion of a walled garden, which is a commonly bandied term around at the moment about what we're doing in schools, particularly with that filtering and lack of access and so on to these technologies. The concept then of a personal learning environment, is anyone familiar with that concept? Just so I can sort of know where to pitch this. This is another interesting little area of contention as to whether this exists in fact. And Brian might be able to help enlighten us on some of this. Okay, this is where I'm redlining a little bit because I'm not sure if we're going to get up to here in a whirlwind of about 20 minutes. And the implications for learning design tools, if we are going to take on board this notion of trying to teach or trying to imbue informal notions of informal learning within these particular tools like LAMS and Copper Core and so on. What does informal learning look like within a formal design application? And if any of you are familiar with the work of Diana Lorillard and some of the work she presented at the UK LAMS conference earlier on, you'll see where she's starting to work with some of these notions. So again, I'm not sure if we'll get up to there. Should and can we systemise informal learning? Seems like a bit of a contradiction to me. Once you start to formalise informal, well, you know, what's all that about? Okay, well, let's start the journey anyway. And I couldn't help yesterday throwing, you know, if you've got kids, you should feature them in your own slideshow. So this is my 12-year-old's claimed to phone today, and he was appalled. You're not going to use that photo, are you, Dad? Okay, why I want to use that photo, though, as I explained to him, is that he's really mad keen on soccer. And soccer is a really interesting instance of where you're doing both the formal and the informal learning. He's in soccer camps, he's in a couple of soccer teams, and so on. So all that represents his formal part of his learning with his soccer project. But apart from that, he's sitting down like any good teenager and lapping it up on Sky Television, all the soccer. Last night he was out watching David Beckham. make his debut. He's got his own blog, and that's where it starts to get interesting with these kids, because even at the age of 12, he's starting to build his own portfolio. And this again introduces another theme that I want to look at today, is the notion of e-portfolios and personal learning environments and what the difference in those might be. He's also reading newspapers and so on. So that's all a part of his very structured informal learning, I'd like to suggest. And Jay Cross, who's the guru of informal learning, if any of you have been onto his site, will look at a number of different notions that he has about how we, from a very early age, go about constructing our own informal learning. And I'm flashing back at you there. The fact that most learning, according to Jay Cross, is in fact informal. Ellen Wagner, who is with Adobe at the moment, also recently wrote a paper about the urgency about recognising informal learning, and too long we've denied that. And there's a real urgency, particularly in training institutions, whereby people within their own workspaces are able to initiate and activate very successfully their own learning and so on. So there's a great conversation on the net between her and Jay Cross, actually, and looking at how we can go about doing that. And of course, from Adobe's point of view, that means they're going to start using a lot of the applications. And also, from an industry-led point of view, if we acknowledge informal learning, the costs can be shifted accordingly. Okay. So what I've done is come up with a couple of simple definitions and said that it's initiated, guided, sustained and organised by the learner's own interest and motivation. That's absolutely paramount. It's not necessarily related to any formal curricula, although it can be. And it's self-directed, not relying on intervention of a teacher or facilitator, but again, that can intrude on it. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.